Isadora pulled her notebook out of her pocket and read out loud to her friends. "It would be a stroke of luck if Coach Genghis were hit by a truck," she read. "That's my latest poem. I know it's not that helpful, but I thought you might like to hear it anyway." "I did like hearing it," Klaus said. "And it certainly would be a stroke of luck if that happened, but I wouldn't bet on it." "Well, we'll think of another plan," Duncan said, handing Violet his fork. "I hope so," Violet said. "Count Olaf doesn't usually wait very long to put his evil schemes into action." "Cosball!" Sunny shrieked.
"Does Sunny mean I have a plan?" Isadora asked. "I'm trying to get the hang of her way of talking."
"I think she means something more like, here comes Carmelita Spatz," Klaus said, pointing across the cafeteria. Sure enough, Carmelita Spatz was walking toward their table with a big, smug smile on her face.
"Hello, you cake sniffers," she said. "I have a message for you from Coach Genghis. I get to be his special messenger because I'm the cutest, prettiest, nicest girl in the whole school."
"Oh, stop bragging, Carmelita," Duncan said.
"You're just jealous,"
Carmelita replied.
"Because Coach Genghis likes me best instead of you."
"I couldn't care less about Coach Genghis," Duncan said. "Just deliver your message and leave us alone."
"The message is this,"
Carmelita said.
"The three Baudelaire orphans are to report to the front lawn tonight, immediately after dinner."
"After dinner?" Violet said. "But after dinner, we're supposed to go to Nero's violin recital."
"That's the message,"
Carmelita insisted.
"He said that if you don't show up, you'll be in big trouble. So if I were you, Violet..."
"You aren't Violet, thank goodness," Duncan interrupted. It is not very polite to interrupt a person, of course. But sometimes, if the person is very unpleasant, you can hardly stop yourself. "Thank you for your message. Goodbye."
"It is traditional,"
Carmelita said,
"to give a special messenger a tip after she has delivered a message."
"If you don't leave us alone," Isadora said, "you're going to get a headful of scrambled eggs as a tip."
"You're just a jealous cake sniffer,"
Carmelita sneered, but she left the Baudelaires and Quagmires alone. "Don't worry," Duncan said when he was sure Carmelita couldn't hear him. "It's still morning. We have all day to figure out what to do. Here, have another spoonful of eggs, Violet."
"No, thank you," Violet said. "I don't have much of an appetite." And it was true. None of the Baudelaires had an appetite.
Scrambled eggs had never been the siblings' favorite dish, particularly Sunny, who much preferred food she could really sink her teeth into. But their lack of appetite had nothing to do with the eggs. It had to do with Coach Genghis, of course, and the message that he had sent to them. It had to do with the thought of meeting him on the lawn, after dinner, all alone. Duncan was right that it was still morning, and that they had all day to figure out what to do. But it did not feel like morning. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny sat in the cafeteria, not taking another bite of their breakfast, and it felt like the sun had already set. It felt like night had already fallen, and that Coach Genghis was already waiting for them. It was only morning, and the Baudelaire orphans already felt like they were in his clutches.